It feels so good to get unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith Studio 1B, this is Unfiltered and Unfettered, the podcast, with your humble co-host, the bully opinionist Tony, along with my superlative father of a figure, the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One. Kiss the ring, Fran, good evening.
Hey, good evening. I'm in the sack, the undisclosed location in the sack. Got a little typhoid Mary going on over here, a bunch of sick people.
Got a little illness running through the Leonardo household.
Nasty.
It's
yeah.
I think it's running through everybody's everybody's deal, Fran.
Well, you know, 0 degrees in Knoxville. It's a wonder we're all not, you know, sick as dogs.
Well, it's supposed to be 60 by Saturday, so that'll make everybody sick all over again.
Yep.
All right. Well, look, Fran, I think we have a decision on the season 2 episode numbering system. We actually got some feedback from some of our loyal listeners, and we're going to go with season 2, episode 30. We're going to keep the numbering system.
Yeah, most people
in a serial fashion.
Yeah, most people like the continuous count, so that's where we're going.
All right, so a little oddness going on in the news to start the new year. This is shaping up to be an odd new year, an odd year, period, I think.
You know, as dead as the time was from Thanksgiving to Christmas, it has picked up.
It is picking up.
Somebody's put their foot on the gas pedal, man, because it's getting crazy.
All right, so, you know, we got some new bits tonight.
Yep.
We've got some old bits. For some of our new listeners, Fran, we're actually bringing a bit back that we haven't done. And this sounds really weird, but I don't think we've done this for about 20 episodes.
Wow.
It sounds odd to say we haven't done something for that long.
Yeah.
But this is a bit we started out with. We haven't done it for a while. What's your pick?
Yeah.
We're
going to
do a
What's
Your Pick segment tonight. So we've got some conspiracy stuff coming up. We've got a new bit called Is It Racist? I think we're going to have fun with that, two white guys from the suburbs, some hardcore politics, and all the rest. So let's get started. Elise, please kick us off.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
Fran, first out of the gate, State Representative Leslie Combs accidentally has a little accident in the state capitol.
Yeah, she... State rep from Kentucky, she's in the state house in Lexington and accidentally fired her semi-automatic pistol in the Capitol. She was unloading it in her office, and she apparently, according to everyone around, was following proper gun safety. Now, when I first saw this, I thought, well, there you go. The damn Republican redneck Tea Partiers, you know, bringing their pistols into the Capitol. Leslie Combs is a Democrat.
A good old... gun-owning Democrat.
Democrat from Kentucky. She has a concealed carry permit, and that allows her to carry it into the state house. But she decided that she wasn't going to have it on her on the floor anymore. So, in other words, she was healed while she was on the floor during debates. So she was going to lock it up, and she was unloading it. And according to her, now I don't own guns, Tony. You probably are a little more experienced than me. That this is something that's not that unusual, that in the process of unloading, that one in the chamber might go off. I don't know.
I think it's unusual, Francis.
Yeah, it sounds like it, because you think you'd hear more of it, you know? But anyway,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, you'd think you'd hear a lot more people getting accidentally killed if that was common.
the bullet hit the floor and then ricocheted to the shelves or something. Nobody got hurt, but... My wife used to work there in the State House in Kentucky, and she has... fired off a few missives on Facebook about it tonight that, you know, she's lucky that back in her day they had cubicles and not offices or somebody would have got killed.
Yeah, really. All right, Leslie Combs from Kentucky, get your act together. All right, next. Fran, going back to one of our old favorites, except, you know what? It's still funny, but it's taken a bad turn. Dennis Rodman in North Korea. It's not funny. Gets into it with Chris Cuomo on CNN on the morning news. They were doing an interview. He had his team there. Let's take a listen to that clip.
You do have a relationship with this man. You've said it many times. We've seen it demonstrated.
Yes.
For whatever reason.
Yes.
Are you going to take an opportunity,
right,
if you get it,
right,
to speak up for the family of Kenneth Bay and to say, let us know why this man is being held, that this is wrong, that he is sick? If you can help, Dennis, will you take the opportunity?
The one thing about politics, Kenneth Bay did one thing. If you understand, if you understand what Kenneth Bay did,
yeah,
do you understand what he did?
What did he do? You
in
tell
this
me.
Country.
You tell me. What did he do?
No. You tell me. You tell me. Why is he held captive?
They haven't released any
country?
Charges. They haven't
why?
Released. They haven't released any reason.
Let me do this. I would love to speak on this.
Go ahead.
You know, you got 10 guys here. 10 guys here that have left their families, left their damn families to help this country as a sports venture. Got 10 guys, all these guys here. Do anyone understand that?
We do, and we appreciate
Christmas.
That, and we wish them
yes,
well with cultural
right.
exchange.
No. I'm just saying, no, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rat's ass what the hell you think. I'm saying to you, look at these guys here. Look at them.
Yeah, but Dennis, don't put it on them. Don't use them as an excuse
they
for the behavior
here.
That you're that you're putting on
here.
Yourself.
They came here.
You just basically were saying that Kenneth Bay did something wrong. We don't even know what the charges are. Use these guys as a shield for you, Dennis.
Listen.
Ain't no shield. I got it. Let me do this. Really? I'm going to tell you one thing.
Okay, Fran, so you can't even make out what he's saying. Here's what really bothers me is he makes, in the Bay family has come out and made a statement about this, that he indicates that Kenneth Bay, I think it is, who's being held without reason, as far as anyone knows.
Right, no charges, right.
No charges. You know, Robin indicates that he did something, and that's why he's being held. But then when Cuomo tells him, well, tell us what it is, Robin just completely changes the subject.
Yeah. Yeah, almost like he knew something that he wasn't supposed to tell everybody. And then he caught himself, you know?
I can't believe that he actually knew anything worth saying.
I wouldn't agree with that, except I can't believe Dennis Robin's in North Korea, and right before we came on the air, he was singing happy birthday to Kim Jong-un.
Oh, I know it.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So I would believe anything at this point. I mean, it was such a bizarre scene. I think the most, we already talked about this, the most telling thing during that video clip was a look on all the other retired NBA players' faces, like they just stepped in it and realized how ugly this is going to get. And of course, David Stern didn't have a lot of nice things to say about those guys either.
Right.
But they're retired players, so they don't. They're
well,
not...
I mean, what were they thinking?
Yeah,
Rodman, North Korea.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm making a bad situation worse. Okay. Next. And Fran, this is a miss.
This is a miss.
Lindsey Vonn's going to miss the Olympics.
Crushing. Yeah, this is crushing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's.
And we had thought that she might make it.
Well, and that one where I think you were the one who thought that was a little early for her to be coming back.
Yeah.
She got hurt, and she tried to cover it up. It was a little Tiger-esque of her, you know. He likes to hide his injuries and not let anyone know about it until long after it's been taken care of. And people thought she'd hurt herself on that run when she pulled up, and she claimed she didn't. But apparently she did, because she's going back for knee surgery, so
well,
it must
and
be
you
pretty
know,
bad.
I know you're going to think this is a shot. It's really not. A little bit easier to hide your injuries maybe when you're on a golf course than when you're screaming
right.
down a mountain
no, absolutely
60
right.
miles
yeah.
an hour.
Which is
you know, when you're talking about a knee.
Right, which is why she wasn't able to do it. While everyone thought, hey, she hurt herself when she pulled up. With him, right, it's very hard to tell. I agree with that, absolutely. But it's just kind of weird that all of a sudden she would go into this cloak and dagger stuff about her injuries when she really never was that way before.
Right.
So, but unfortunately, yeah, she's going to miss out.
All right, next. And we have passed the 20th anniversary of Tanya Trailer Park Harding's attack on Nancy. Why? Kerrigan on her knee.
It seems like
you know. I read a great article about that recently. I mean, not a great article. I mean, that was a terrible thing that happened. But wow, what a weird event in our world.
Yeah, it just seems like yesterday when Harding was doing celebrity boxing.
Yeah,
it's. And they just announced that Nancy Kerrigan is going to be the NBC analyst for the ice skating. So
nice.
She will be at the Olympics on the 20th anniversary of the clubbing.
Nice. It's good to see her in there. I mean, she had some quotes that said, you know, she's just a mom now and that kind of stuff. But, wow, what a weird event.
Yeah.
You know, speaking strange. Of conspiracy, you know, the guy that kind of organized the old thing, Eckert, who ran bodyguard service, you know, his plan was to attack a skater, and that way all the skaters would decide they needed to hire bodyguards, and he would provide them.
I did not know that.
That was his big plan. Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Genius.
Not too
genius
smart.
At work.
All right, next. Staying on a sports theme.
Oh, this is a brutal clip.
Just a tough hockey guy.
I don't know if you've ever seen this clip.
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Because the game was on last night. It was on NBC National game, so people saw it. This guy, he checked the guy into the boards, and when the dude fell, the skate came up and hit Brandon Shen right across the chest. And I don't know if you, being from Ohio, and I think you played a little hockey. These skates are razor sharp. I mean, they are razor. They've cut guys in the neck. Goaltenders have almost died from getting hit. These things are sharp. They lifted up that dude's sweater, and he had probably a 5-inch gash along his belly up to his chest. They didn't even stitch it. They put some kind of goo on there.
Slapped skin glue or something, right?
Yeah, slapped a gauze pad over it, pulled his jersey down, and he finished his shift. You tell me hockey players aren't the toughest guys in the world.
They are tough.
If that was a football player and he stubbed his toe, he wouldn't play for 3 weeks.
Yeah. They are tough. All right, next. All right, Fran, playoff picks. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
We only separated by one game, but I'm going to tell you, I went 2-2. You went 1-3. 2-2 just sounds a whole lot better than 1-3, even though it's really not.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
All right, so let's go to our playoff picks. San Francisco at Carolina. Who do you got?
You know what? I'm gonna take San Francisco, man. This kid Kaepernick, I don't know. It doesn't seem like once he finally gets rolling, that anyone has an answer for him.
I really want to take Carolina, but I'm going to take San Francisco as well. I think they're on a roll. I think Cam Newton and the Panthers will give them a much better game. But if San Francisco wins, then it sets up really what is our next pick, which is New Orleans at Seattle. I'm picking Seattle because I'm picking the championship game to be an epic battle between the 49ers at the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So I'm picking Seattle against the Saints.
I'm picking Seattle only because, they literally are the closest thing you have to the definition of a juggernaut. I mean, their offense is just steamrolling everybody.
Yeah, especially at home. I mean, they've only lost one game in the last 2 years.
They're going to be at home. I mean, at the last four home games, the fans have set the decibel record. You know, I mean, they're actually being felt in California on their seismic equipment. So, I mean, yeah, that's a tough place to play. And that, like, I think the championship game for the NFC is going to be great if it's San Francisco, Seattle.
Okay, next is Indianapolis at the Patriots. Who you got, Fran?
I know how you can, but I don't know how anyone can pick against Belichick in the playoffs and Brady. So I mean, those guys have just won games they had no business winning this year. So I'm going with New England.
I'm going to go with New England too. I mean, just because I don't like them doesn't mean I'm not foolish enough not to. Not to pick up. Yeah, I agree.
Don't
in the
like
playoffs.
Them? Don't like them? Is that what you just said?
That's what I said, Fran.
That's an understatement, by
Fran, it's not nice to hate anyone. That's what my mother told me. So I'm not picking against Belichick and Brady in the playoffs. So that leaves us with San Diego at Denver. And again, now they split during the season. San Diego 1-1, Denver 1-1. Yeah. I'm going to go with Denver because, again, it sets up New England going to Denver for the championship game, which we will have two classic championship games if these picks that I'm picking come true. Anyways, who you got, Francis?
Well, I'm going with you only because, dude, Peyton Manning, I mean, 54 touchdowns. I mean, the guy's just – he's rolling he's never been rolling before. And people are pissing him off. You know, reporters are pissing him off by saying he's lost this, he's lost that. He doesn't have the arm strength after the neck surgery. Well, I think he's pretty much on a mission to shove it up everyone's rear end. And when he holds up that trophy for the Super Bowl, I think he's going to give everyone a middle finger and walk off and retire. That's what I think.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we got our playoff picks in for this weekend. We'll see how we did next week. Again, I'm 2-2. Fran's 1-3. We'll see how we do. And that is Shotgun in the News.
Let's get hardcore.
All right, Fran, that means it's time for Hardcore Politics. Tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Gates tell-all book, Secretary of Defense, writing a book, saying some things that maybe he didn't say while he was there, talking about being Pearl Harbor whistleblower. I'll turn it over to you, Fran. What's your thoughts?
Well, my honest first thought was, if he had these issues, why didn't he bring them up while he was there? Why wait till you get out the door and then turn around and say, you know, this guy's the chump and this guy, he doesn't know nothing, and I want to pull my hair out every time they spoke about foreign policy. But, like all things we found out, Tony, I think the more you get down the road with a story, the more facts actually come out, you know. And no one is saying in the news who's gotten a chance to read the advanced copy of the book that he says that he didn't do this. Like, everything, all the criticisms that are the most biting about Obama, Biden, and Hillary, apparently these things were made public by him. So, is it really a tell-all book? I mean, you know, is it really a Pearl Harbor job? It is a little bit in that the president is still in office, and that's not unprecedented, but it's unusual to drop one of these books while the guy's still there.
Right.
But that's not.
Of course, Fran, I don't know whether you set this up properly. We're talking about former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates.
Right.
He's writing a tell-all book called "Duty: Memoirs of a Secretary at War," in which he's voicing some things that, like you say, he didn't necessarily voice while he was in office. Or we don't know. I mean, it could be backdoor stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But and no one who's reporting on it is saying that. No one is saying, well, why didn't he ask this while he was. While he was there, because what I was getting at, and you're right, I wasn't really setting that up. The book, it appears in the book, we're going to find out that he did say these things to the president, that he did voice his objections while he was there. So does that really make it a sabotage type deal? And I think what most people agreed with that I've listened to tonight, that the president really isn't going to be hurt by this, and really, how can he be? I mean, you know,
yeah.
None of that stuff is news. Plus, he spoke glowingly for the most part. For the few excerpts that really take the president to task, the rest of the time he's speaking glowingly of President Obama. So I don't think conservatives are going to, you know, appreciate some of that, because it kind of goes against what they've been saying about him for years. But the person I think who's going to really get hurt by this is Hillary Clinton. I think, you know, Biden, he takes a shot at Biden, but it's kind of petty and just says that he was always wrong in foreign policy. I'm not sure that's news. I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, we didn't know it factually, but I'm sure we all believe that anyway. But he takes some pretty nasty shots at Hillary, and they're not name calling. They're just kind of factual things that she's going to have to answer for, I think. She's not going to be able to run from this. You know, and I think Biden will be out of the race so quickly in 2016, this is not going to hurt him. So it's going to hurt her. Again, the only thing unusual about the book is the fact that a former cabinet member drops a book while the president is still in office.
You know, Fran, when the book comes out, you know, maybe we should do a new bit called the Unfiltered, Unfettered Book Report. Because there's some other books that would be... telling to maybe chat about on
that's
the podcast.
That's a great idea. I'm definitely reading this one, so that'll be a good thought.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to that in the future. The book report, which will not be what I did over the summer on my summer vacation. So Robert Gates, Secretary of Defense. All right, and now, Francis, it's time for our bit that's growing in popularity called It's a Conspiracy.
You're just pawns being used by the government to spread their propaganda.
You think you know the whole story?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
All right, first up, when I heard about this, Fran, I just said to myself, that's BS.
Yeah, yeah.
A Velveeta cheese shortage. I mean, it's not really even cheese, is it? Isn't it like a cheese food product or
yes,
something like that?
Yes, exactly what it says on the box.
What
it's
they
a
call
cheese
it?
Food product.
How do you?
And you know how there's 85,000.
You know, they're saying because people make dip and it's the playoffs,
right,
and it's the
right,
Super
right.
Bowl. How do you have a Velveeta cheese shortage, for
God's
sakes?
I think that's baloney. I was in my little Kroger down the street here, and it was 85,000 boxes of it. I don't know where the shortage is. But
well, I was thinking maybe all the Velveeta cows got mad cow. Didn't have.
So it's spicy.
Maybe
they're
different
now?
Kinds of the cheese food cows. I don't know. All right. So, you know, we originally set this bit up, Fran, as actually serious kind of a bit on a different take on political situations. We've quickly went to the Velveeta cheese food, but we actually have for our second It's a Conspiracy story tonight, we actually have a kind of a serious political story about in New Jersey, there was some lanes shut down when the school season, the school season opened, it's not the season, the school year opened, and some bridge lane closures going into a certain district that created some major traffic jams that the opposing politician, I can't remember his name, kind of said they did this on purpose.
Yeah, it's Fort Lee, New Jersey. The mayor of Fort Lee, Mark Soklich, is the mayor of Fort Lee, and he actually has stayed in the background on this. So actually it was Wolf Blitzer who broke this story about 4 months ago.
Ooh, a Wolf Blitzer reference.
Oh, Wolf was all over this thing, man.
Wolf,
he was all over
the Situation Room.
And basically, the Christie campaign went to Soklich and asked, hey, are you going to support the governor for re-election? And that's a little odd because Soklich is a Democrat, and Christie is not. At least he doesn't run as a Democrat anyway. But so Soklich did not support and didn't endorse anybody. Now, Fort Lee is the main thoroughfare bridge into Manhattan. So, you know, that's where it connects in New Jersey. So that's a big deal. And the bridge all of a sudden started having lane closures, and it turns out it was somebody in the Christie campaign ordering those lane closures on the Jersey side, jamming up traffic because Soklich refused to endorse Christie.
They've got some emails and some texts saying, go ahead and do it. No. Should I feel bad about this? No, I don't.
Yeah, a lot of people said, hey, you know what? Local politics is way nastier than national politics. The problem here is these folks sent emails about it. And so now there's a record of it. And so they got caught. So the issue becomes, did Christie know about it?
Right.
And if he didn't know about it, how is it that he has people in his administration who just feel like they have the authority to go do things like this? And because, and you know that, that hyperbole and extremism is going to go right to the top peg. It turns out that there were two fatalities in ambulances that got stuck in that traffic on the bridge as a result of those lane closures. So, you know, this stuff's going to be coming out of the woodwork now for the next few weeks. That's bad. So Christie, I heard a conservative analyst on the Crossfire say tonight, his best move right now would be to resign, apologize, and then rev up his presidential campaign in quiet until it's time to unleash it. And he actually announces. I'm not a big fan of that thought process. But,
that doesn't seem right to me.
She just this is a woman named S.C. Cupp. She's a big time conservative.
Yeah, sure.
This is her damage control. This is what she would advise him to do. But the issue has still not been resolved. We don't know if he
didn't
know.
If he genuinely didn't know and he didn't have anything to do with it, I think he should stick to his guns. And unless there's a direct tie to him,
right.
It's hard to believe that he knew about that and that it wasn't some underlings.
But
just
that's
pulling
a big,
some shenanigans.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
I'd agree.
Well,
if he didn't know, and he says he didn't know about it, and
right.
And I would believe him.
But,
because,
you know, in if you think about it in reverse, right? And what I mean is if you go back to the beginning and say, it's just a couple of knuckleheads saying, hey, you know, let's screw with these people and close one of the lanes over this bridge. This will be funny. Without knowing that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's,
know,
I'm not saying that.
I'm going to create a traffic jam for these people just because.
Because their
fun.
Mayor wouldn't endorse, right? The mayor of Fort Lee. I mean, that's the other thing. Of Fort Lee, Governor Christie needs the endorsement of the mayor of Fort Lee. He won in a landslide, so I mean, it's a pretty vindictive act. And I agree with you that certainly. You know, his chief of staff, who is the one being accused of all this, could easily have perpetrated this, and without Christie knowing about it. And I, watching Christie give his statement, he looked the same to me as he does whenever he speaks, and he's generally a truth teller. So I would say that he probably doesn't know about it. The issue that he's going to get hit with then is, what kind of control do you have over your administration?
Well, so that's true. All right, so our two conspiracies for the night, Velveeta cheese, I think it's bullshit, and the New Jersey Chris Christie Bridge Lane closers. Fran, let's go to our new bit called Is It Racist?
Nice.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. They're going to put you all back in chains, back in chains, back in chains, in chains, in chains.
What kind of racist thinking do you have?
All right, so in this bit, what do you got? What you got is you got two white guys from the suburbs that are going to bring up things that could possibly either have been reported as being racist or could be reported as racist, and we're going to kick it around. And tonight we're going to talk about A.J. McCarron's mother, Dee Dee, who's quite a fetching, you know.
Yeah.
She's a, you know, she's
big
all right.
Big advocate for her son, too. Big.
Who wouldn't be? I mean, you know, I think he's. Well, I think A.J. McCarron's an underrated college quarterback. But regardless, during the championship game, when Jameis Winston was giving his, you know, they were down interviewing him, asking about the game, his post-game interview. Dee Dee McCarron posted a tweet that said, "Am I listening to English?" Okay, and of course, there's a couple issues here. Number one, Twitter should never be used as a stream of consciousness.
Right, that's right.
Dee Dee McCarron and most people that use Twitter should follow the a concept that I started following when I was a young man, which is if I only say half of what I'm thinking, I'll only get in half the trouble.
That's right.
Right? So, but she tweeted that out, and then of course, a bunch of people were charged her with racism, like. You're making fun of him because he's an African American and because of his speech and his dialect and things like that.
I don't know about that.
So is that racist, Francis?
I mean, no. And this is what I was making point before.
I mean, let me just ask you a question: is that racist?
No, that's what I was saying before about her being such an advocate for her son. I mean, it goes beyond a norm. You said, well, what mother wouldn't? But it goes beyond that. I mean, she politicked for his Heisman, so I don't. I think that plays into this. I think this was a bitter moment for her. You know, because he didn't win the Heisman, he lost it to this kid, and then this kid just took away McCarron's last national title. So I think it was more out of just angst and anger. I mean, it doesn't strike me as racist.
Let me make two comments. Number one, I heard Jameis Winston earlier in the year, in which I thought he was almost unintelligible. I've heard him do some discussions lately, and as we talk about frequently on this podcast, we're both listeners of the Dan Patrick podcast, or Dan Patrick show, and he was on there the day after he won the Heisman, and I thought he was very well-spoken and represented himself very well. But the other question is making fun of the way somebody talks in itself inherently racist?
No, I mean, it's douchebaggery, but it's not racist. I don't think.
Douchebaggery? I mean, people make a lot of fun of people in the South for the way they talk.
Yeah, but so they're douchebaggery. I mean, it doesn't make it right. I mean, just because a lot of people
do it. Doesn't
make
it racist, though.
No, I don't think so.
What if you make fun of somebody in the South? That's not racist. What if you make fun of an Asian person?
I was about to, when we started this bit, I was going to say, well, who the heck is A.J. McCarron's mother to talk about somebody else speaking English, being from Alabama?
Dee Dee McCarron.
Because, you know, full disclosure, you're from Ohio and I'm from Jersey. We're not from the South, so we're those people who make fun of people from the South.
I do not make fun of people from the South, Francis. I mean, okay, I have.
I just thought. Whether she's a racist or not is a different discussion. That particular tweet, I don't think is. I wouldn't take it like that. I just found it odd because, like you, listened to his post-game interview. It didn't seem. I had no problem. I didn't know what she was saying. It just struck me as a bitter mother who couldn't get her son the Heisman Trophy.
Well, she was charged with that. She deleted the tweet, of course. And, you know, just as an introduction, this is our bit to talk about things, you know. Race in our society, as we're actually going to talk about in our next segment, continues to rear its head in America. Let's go ahead to Are You Kidding Me?
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding me?
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 Are you fucking kidding me?
All right, so our first topic in Are You Kidding Me, and I blogged about this the other day. I came home, I turned on the TV, Michael Wilbon, who I really think is a good sports commentator. I mean, he has a lot of good comments. But he made a comment about Charlie Strong got hired as the head coach of Texas. Charlie Strong is black. He's been an assistant at Florida. He's been the head coach of Louisville. Texas hired him. And Michael Wilbon said he couldn't believe that Charlie Strong got hired because he was black. And I was just kind of stunned by that. It's like we have our president's black. Is being the football coach at the University of Texas somehow more significant than that?
No, I mean, but being the first.
I just thought, are you kidding me, Wilbon? And Wilbon's black. And so, you know, I understand he has a different perspective on things, but I just thought, are you kidding me? What kind of a thing is that to say?
Yeah, I mean, other than the history of it being on his side of, you know, it's the first, he is the first one, first African-American to get hired there. I don't know what else he'd be talking about there, but.
And so my next Are You Kidding Me is simply the intro to the national championship game where Brett Musburger, who, look, he's a legend in sports broadcasting. I mean, I can remember him when I was a kid doing games. But Brett Musburger comes on, and we'll just take a listen here. Let's take a listen.
Good evening and welcome, everybody. I'm Kirk Herbstreit, along with Brett Musburger. We certainly hope that everybody is warm and able to watch this.
So Brett Musburger comes on and introduces himself and says, and he's, you know, his color guy is Kirk Herbstreit and says, I'm Kirk Herbstreit along with Brett Musburger. I just thought, Brett, cut two gin and tonics. Just cut back two gin and tonics before you start the game.
Well, he's got to be.
Are you kidding me, Brett?
He's got to be in his 70s, right?
He's got to be in his 70s. Yeah he's got to be in his 70s. still a good broadcaster, but it was just it was a funny gaffe. Yeah, that's all. So what do you got for us, friend?
Oh, I got two that just got me wound up, man. So I'm probably not going to be able to get through it. My old friend Steve Ducey, the political weatherman from Fox News, and he is political. He does. I've never seen a guy do the weather with a political bent before in my life. But anytime the temperature drops below 32 degrees, we get the same quote out of Ducey. You could go the last 10 years and drag up his clips. Oh, well, so much for that global warming. It's 31 degrees.
Right.
Well,
right.
Okay, Steve. And the same retort comes out 100 times. Now it comes out on Twitter because, you know, people can take to the Twitter. And they say, well, okay, so then what do you say when it's 100 degrees? Does that mean we have global warming? You know, your ridiculously stupid comments are easily then reversed on you to say, well, then global warming is a thing because it got to 100 degrees in the summer.
Well, even the global warming people don't call it global warming anymore. They call it climate change.
Right, right. And that's a whole other discussion. I mean, you wrote one. I think you wrote a post about this last time.
I have, yeah.
About the Time magazine and all that kind of stuff, about the cooling, the actual global cooling that was going on. But that's not about this. This is about people on both sides of the political spectrum, even weathermen, and I almost dropped an F-bomb there, who live on the extreme.
Be careful with that, Francis. There's some people out there that count those, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who's counting them is the guy who's responsible for them, by the way, George Wessler. I won't name names. But when you live on the extremes like this, this is what happens, right? It's only it's just a stupid weather. It's a stupid comment by a guy who thinks he's funny and he's not. But he doesn't seem to get that the exact opposite then disproves his point. It just drives me insane. It has no bearing whatsoever on anything. It's just one of these things that makes me nuts. Ducey, are you kidding me? Go spend a weekend with Al Roker and figure out how to do the weather. And this next one, dude, this is the kind of excuse I would give to my father when I had, like, a monumental project that would take a normal person a month to do, and it was due, like, Monday morning, and this is Sunday night. The World Cup organizers have just decided that the country of what do we call this now? Qatar. All of a sudden, they've realized, oh, you know what? It's going to be too hot to play the World Cup there in July. We're not going to play it this year. They're pushing the World Cup into the next calendar year. This is unprecedented. Now, again, to us, this is not a big deal, but around the world, this is a huge
World Cup, bro.
Yeah, dude, don't even start. Yeah, I know. I'm just waiting for you to say, let's talk about American sport. But It's an event that goes every 2 years. The minute that the buzzer sounds on the game, the final game, they start planning the next one.
Right.
Are you telling me it took them till 3 months before the actual tournament is going to start to realize it's hot as balls in the desert in July? We can't play it here. People have bought tickets. There's nothing left to do other than show play the games. And all of a sudden, oh yeah, we're not going to do it. We're probably going to move it to December to February.
People are dead serious about the.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Again, it's not that big a deal here in the United States, but outside of the United States, everywhere, this is as if they would say, oh, you know what? It's cold in New York. We can't play the Super Bowl in February in New York. You know what I mean? This is the equivalent. And well, are you kidding me, people?
All right, so that's tonight's episode of Are You Kidding Me? Now, Fran, we're going to go to a bit we haven't done, like I said in the beginning, for, I don't know, 20 episodes, 17 episodes?
This is a good way to bring it back. I like this.
We're going to do a bit called, we started out doing a thing called What's Your Pick, where we'd throw two things up, and we would just discuss. We've done sunglasses, we've done food, we've done sports, all kinds of things. Tonight we're going to do What's Your Pick? Who would you rather have a beer with?
This is an awesome list.
Who would you rather have a beer with? So that's tonight's What's Your Pick? So we're going to start out with, and this is a classic, Francis. I threw it in there for us. Who would you rather have a beer with? Sarah Palin or Hillary Clinton? Fran?
Oh, I'm going, you know... I think you think I know. I know you think which way I'm going here, but
I'm not sure.
But no, I'm going with Palin on this. I think she a couple beers in her, dude. Who knows where the night's going? I just think Hillary's just be too standoffish. I just don't. You know what I mean? Like I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying she's a Harvard elite because she didn't go to Harvard, but I just don't know that she'd ever. She just seems to be always serious. Now, of course, I know nothing about her, so I'm just pulling this off the top of my head. But if I had to end up, you know, drunk in a gutter with someone, I'm picking Sarah Palin.
Nice, Francis. That's a nice reference. Well, of course, you know I'm going with Sarah Barracuda. You betcha.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to have a beer with somebody. I'm gonna have an ice cold one with my sweetie. You know, I like to call her the Pilf.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And to this date, you're the only person to get an interview with her too.
That's a dirty reference. So I'm just going to move on from that. So okay, then this one's kind of tough. Who would you rather have a beer with, Fran? Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi?
I'm going with Harry for two reasons. One, I'd like to get him drunk enough so I could kick the crap out of him. But in lieu of that. If something starts up between me and Palin and somebody steps in, Harry's a boxer. You know what I mean? He'll have your back. And Nancy Pelosi, I don't know why anyone would want to do anything with Nancy Pelosi other than push her off a boat. I just, there's nothing there. There is no redeeming quality in that person.
Well, I feel that way about both of them. I'm going with Pelosi. Only because Harry is such a pale, dry...
Yeah, but dude, he can throw down. I mean, if the fisticuffs start, dude, that's where you want to be. The dude was
sure. I won't take that from you. I mean, Pelosi, I've told you before, I don't even think she's a... I think she's an alien. I think she's an alien, man. I think she's like just got human skin wrapped around some alien body.
Get a couple beers in her, she'll show you her antlers?
Maybe she would... She would pull back her skin and terrify me. I'd run screaming from the bar. But I'm going with Pelosi. Okay, so another good one. We got up. Who would you rather have a beer with? Dick Cheney or Joe Biden?
This is tough, dude.
This is a tough one.
Because on the one hand, I'd love to have a beer with Dick Cheney and see if he'd show me the Darth Vader costume. But see, you know, I'm gonna go Cheney here because I just think that Biden's gonna steal the show. I mean, you know what I mean? Because think how he is sober, dude. Put a couple cold ones in him, dude. He might be uncontrollable. This could be a wild night. I'm not sure I'm up for that.
Because I think Joe Biden would probably be a better time. You know, you could start. You know, after a half a beer, you start throwing the F-bombs and start insulting all kinds of cultures and people. I think Cheney, you know, if you've read Cheney's book or watched the movie they made about Dick Cheney, man, this guy was a public servant for a long time. And I know, you know, you know, the left hates him.
Yep.
He is one smart dude, and he's been in politics for a long time. He's got to know a few secrets. I would love to have a beer with him and find out what he knows.
See, that's where I'm at. He knows where all the bodies are buried. So I want to, you know what I mean? Like, I want to get a couple beers and hear some stories.
Yeah.
With Joe, you know, he's going to get sloppy, and he's going to go put his hand in Palin's blouse. And then then the night's over.
So. With Joe, having a couple beers with Joe would be like Tuesday or something, you know?
That's right.
All right. And our last one, who would you rather have a beer with? And this is a joke.
I know why you put this in here.
Who would you rather have a beer with? Salma Hayek or Celine Dion?
Oh. I know one of our very good friends is going to say when he hears this, but, dude, is this even in a contest?
It's Salma Hayek all the way. No, it's not. And I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't normally have beers with women that marry their grandpa.
I'm trying to figure out why you even have them both on the same line in the script. She doesn't even rate being on the same line as Selma Hayek.
I put Dion, it in there, Fran, just so I could deliver that line. Really, I did. For our little buddy.
Celine Dion. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, Selma Hayek. Fran, we agreed on three. We just differed on Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, which is so bizarre, dude, because you're such a Pelosi
I still
hater.
Don't know. I think you'd have to force me to have a beer with either one of them.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that.
But, all right, so tonight's edition of What's Your Pick? We haven't done that in quite a few episodes.
Good comeback.
That was fun.
That was a good comeback, yep.
It was a good comeback. All right. And that means it's tonight's edition of the UFUF Politician of the Podcast. And you're going with your boy Mark Sokolich there.
Let me tell you something. This was a last-second change. I mean, I had this block filled in three different times. First, it was going to be Liz Cheney because she dropped out of the Senate race in Wyoming. Then it was going to be Gabby Giffords because she parachuted today on the anniversary of her getting shot in the head. She actually... did a tandem jump to mark that occasion, which is astounding if you consider that she was probably almost dead for quite a while.
Yeah,
sure. And then it was going to be Chris Christie because of this business with the bridge. But then, you know, I gotta watch my Wolf Blitzer before we come on the air, and he had the mayor of Fort Lee, the town where this bridge kept being blockaded on purpose, Mark Sokolich. Dude, that guy tore it up. He was awesome, and not surprisingly, if you closed your eyes, you'd think you were listening to Chris Christie. I mean, as somebody on Twitter said, he just out Christie on the air. I mean, it was just. But he brought up a great point. He said, look, I've not got involved in this. People are investigating it. I've not gotten involved, Wolf, since you brought it up months ago and asked me about it. I've stayed in the background. But now that these emails have surfaced and there's proof that it came out of their, at least out of Christie's office, this has got to stay in the news. Because if it doesn't, I'm worried about what's going to happen to my townspeople and the retribution that's coming my way from the Christie administration.
Wow.
And he was serious. That was not tongue-in-cheek. That wasn't, it didn't, I mean, he was dead serious. And Blitzer didn't skip a beat. He said, well, give me some examples. And the guy just laid it out. He says, you think we're going to get a nickel now? The minute you guys stop talking about this, they're just going to put the hammer on us for this. He said, believe it. And, boy, it was stunning to watch. But, boy, he did a great job standing up for his constituents in his town. You know, for a Jersey palooka, which is what he is, like I am, he really did a great showing for himself. So, Mark Sokolich, mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey, is our politician of the podcast.
All right. And with that, we'll go to Signs of the Apocalypse.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
All right, Fran, so I'm going on the cheap for tonight's Signs of the Apocalypse.
That's an easy
one. I'm going with the Polar Vortex, which actually they made an apocalyptic movie about the day after tomorrow.
Yep.
That was about the same thing, right? A big vortex that sucks all the Arctic air or the Antarctic air or whatever.
Is literally the protagonist in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. So, signs of the apocalypse. I'm going with the polar vortex, man. I'm throwing in with Fox News, this global warming stuff. What happened, man? We're not feeling it in Knoxville.
Yeah, no kidding. But, see, there's the problem, though. You reference a movie, and you clearly don't understand it. That polar vortex came about because of the global warming. It melted all the glacier ice, which then desalted the ocean, which shifted the Gulf Stream further south and caused the winter weather to come further south. That's what's happening now, bro. All I'm saying is start burning library books because you're going to have to stay warm.
Head to Mexico.
That's right. They won't let you in, bastard. Mine is a little, I would say, lighthearted, except there was a death, so it's not really that lighthearted.
Well, this is a podcast, so we can...
But a gentleman in McLeod, Oklahoma, killed his stepfather with what most grade schoolers and middle schoolers know as the atomic wedgie. I mean, for those of you who don't know, you know, a wedgie is when you yank someone's underwear up into the crack of their rear end. An atomic is when you do it so forcefully that you rip the band off of their underwear. Some people are aware of this. It literally has a season in New Jersey, and there's playoffs and everything. Brad Davis from McLeod, Oklahoma, got into an argument with his stepfather, gave him this atomic wedgie, and when he got the band of the underwear up high enough, wrapped it around his neck and choked the man to death.
My goodness.
When asked, interviewed by the police when he's being arrested, he said, "I gave him an atomic wedgie." That's how he described killing his stepfather. Admitted to it to the police. I mean, you know, if that's not...
That's pretty sad.
I weep for humanity sometimes.
Yes. Yes, don't we all? All right, Fran, episode 30 coming to a close.
I made it through.
Episode 2, season 2, episode 30.
Yep.
Coming to a close. We had some new bits tonight. We had some old bits. We'll be back in a week with hopefully a successful run at our playoff picks and some new political conspiracies to talk about. Hey, once again, as every podcast that we have, our listener base continues to grow. So we appreciate every listener. And we did want to say, Francis, you know, this podcast is carefully crafted in these United States.
It's made in America, that's right.
Made in America. And so it has the good housekeeping steal of approval.
Look for the union label, right?
That's right. Sat on my mother's lap. She sang that to me. All right, so everybody stay safe. Have a good week. Enjoy everything. Francis, good night.
Good night, bub.
And Lise, please take us out.
Thanks for getting unfiltered and unfettered.